Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
What's happening, everybody? Episode number 21 of Unkillable. How's everybody doing tonight? I want to talk in some broad and then some more specific parameters of just the overall Jets coaching search. GM, less specific tonight, more on the coaching search. So I think you can look at it one of two ways. They're talking to pretty much everybody. With the exception of Gruden, they are really deep into this process, which I definitely like. Now, the flip side to that would be, well, if you talk to, 12, 13, 14, 15 people, how thorough can you be? Would it be better to maybe speak to 7 or 8 that you value and be a little more thorough at the risk of being redundant? So I actually, given where the Jets are now and that they broadened their search and they reached out to Tannenbaum and they've got the firm to help them, I actually think this is really smart. I'm just a staunch believer in, if you're a smart person, generally speaking to other people and then getting as much information as you can possibly get. And then, you have to properly channel it and understand what's nonsense and what's not. But I think if you take that and you apply that, I think the more that you learn, the more that you know, the more that you have, the better prepared you'll be to make the proper decision. So yeah, it does. I wouldn't use the word scattered. It definitely does seem very, very broad, very, very extensive, very almost overwhelming. You got Flores, you got Aaron Glenn, you got Mike Vrabel, obviously, first up. You've got Nagy, you've got a bunch of others. Spagnuolo, for some reason, I don't know why he possibly entered the equation. But the list is very long. Now, the other thing too is I think that when you go through the process, yes, you want to understand somebody's philosophy and then how they would be able to change the culture and change the losing ways and fairly basic stuff. And, what kind of staff would they build out and what their, immediate vision for the program would be. What it, 2, 3, 4, 5 years out as they broaden it. But I also think even by speaking to people that you have no interest in hiring, what you're doing, because this absolutely comes into the conversation here, they are evaluating your roster. So I just said before, like to me, why would you even chat with somebody like Spagnuolo, who's a great coordinator, did not do well as a head coach, and is a defensive background coach, obviously. And I think most people, unless it's Aaron Glenn, who I'll get back to in a minute, I think most people want either an established head coach like Vrabel, who's more of a CEO, or Flores, who did it for 3 years in Miami. Or if you're going with the coordinator route, Brady, they've interviewed as well, somebody with an offensive background. But if you sit down and you chat with somebody like Spagnuolo, what you do is you have him analyze all of your players on defense. Hey, why did Sauce Gardner take a step back this year? Hey, why was Quinnen Williams not quite as effective? Hey, we lost some players. And, our run stuffing, our run defense is really subpar, took a massive step back. How would you do it? What do you see on the second level? What do you see on the third level? How would you deploy this player? So they're not going to hire. They're only going to hire one person. If they speak to 15 people, in my opinion, I think that they go into those interviews predisposed to hiring probably 3 or 4 are incredibly appealing to them. And again, really, I think that their list matches my list. Vrabel, again, not happening, but Vrabel, Flores, and Aaron Glenn are that's my list right now. And I really think that that's their list. If they sit there. Brady is, I think, a bit of a wild card. Matt Nagy is a bit of a wild card. But now the other thing too, and I just got back. I was out at St. John's. I had to do an interview with Patino for the TV show, The Red Storm Report. St. John's, by the way, is 13-4 and 4-1 in the conference. And looking forward to the matchup with Villanova this weekend. So anyway, I was on campus and I was waiting for Rick to finish up practice. And I was scrolling through my phone and I saw, let's get to Aaron Glenn. I saw that Aaron Glenn turned down an interview with the Patriots. Now, the first thing is, I get it. From an emotional perspective, from a Jets perspective, the first thing that you think, and really the first thing that I think is like, good, you know, stick it to them. The hate runs deep with Aaron Glenn. And I love that. And maybe that's a small part of it. Maybe, well, it can't be their quarterback situation because they've got a pretty appealing one with Drake May. Maybe, though, he's maybe, hold on, I wish I had a tissue here. Pardon me. I think that really with Aaron, I think that, and I don't blame him, I think what it really comes down to for Aaron and other minority candidates who really don't feel that they're getting a real look, they're saying, I'm not going through your charade. I'm not going through your dog and pony show. I'm not going to let you trot me out so you could check a box for the Rooney Rule with no intention to hiring me. Now, if Mike Vrabel was maybe still in Tennessee or Mike Vrabel was hired by maybe the Jets already, whatever, or the Bears. I know we interviewed with them as well. Then maybe, I don't know this to be true, but maybe Aaron Glenn's thought process is very different. Maybe he views the Patriots as a much more viable opportunity. Now, I remember years ago, talking to Willie Randolph about this. When Willie was, this is when he was still coaching the Yankees before he was a manager with the Mets. And Willie got a couple of, I don't like to use the word token, but a couple of token interviews, the Reds, I want to say, definitely the Pirates were one. And, you know, and I remember kind of talking to Willie like, you know, is this authentic? Is this kind of a sham? Or do you really have a chance to get the job? And, you know, we got into the thought process of minority candidates, which, you know, I can't relate to that because I'm not a minority coaching candidate, but imagine back then, you know, things have changed a bit for the good, but back then it was even more of a charade. So what Willie told me really resonated then. It has always stuck with me. He said, listen, number one, I owe it to myself to go in there, put my best foot forward. I said, all right, that makes sense. He said, I owe it to future minority candidates to go out there and get in a room and again, put my best foot forward in front of executives. And the other thing, and this is really important, and I wouldn't have thought of this all those years ago, but let's say it really is, and forget about Willie now, forget about Aaron Glenn, just talking as an overall concept. Conceptually speaking, Team X brings in minority candidate Y. Minority candidate Y, along with everybody else, doesn't think that there's a chance in hell he's going to be hired. It's just to satisfy the Rooney Rule. Or in baseball, where there's not really quite such a rule like that, but just to, again, you know, scratch or check that box. If you go to the room, even if you know, and that's got to be a tough, that's a tough place to be. It's an unfair place to be. And it's a tough room to walk into when you know, no matter what you do, they have no interest in hiring you. However, if you do project really well and you come across as certainly somebody who is highly qualified, maybe somebody else in that room who's not making the decision that time, maybe they're the assistant general manager, maybe they're head of scouting. Maybe if you're in a different room 3, 4, 5 years down the road, that person who doesn't have the juice to make the hire in real time is now a decision maker down the road. And you made quite the impression with them several years before that. And now they don't bring you into the room to satisfy some stupid rule. And not that the rule is stupid, the way it's applied, I think is unfair. I think I don't want to get sidetracked, but I think the Rooney Rule in the spirit is a great thing, but I think there's way too many flaws with it. I think many of you would agree with that. So that's why you do it. You get in the room and you lay out the plans for the organization. You talk about, you know, personnel and talk about vision and talk about trends and analytics, and you empty your toolbox and you show to them, wow, all right, man, we're not going to hire this guy because we're going to hire Vrabel, or we're going to hire this manager who's, you know, been around for 20 years and he's a retread and we're familiar with him. But a couple of years down the road, as I just said, if the opportunity presents itself to get in the room where you've got a real chance, and now the guy who was third, fourth, or fifth, or gal in charge back then is now basically calling the shots and overseeing things, now you are perceived in a different light. That's just a general overarching broad scope, 20,000 foot view. All right. Specific to Aaron Glenn, Aaron Glenn doesn't have to go on this dog and pony show because Aaron Glenn is in massive demand, and Aaron Glenn should be in massive demand. So I look at now Aaron Glenn as incredibly appealing for the New York Jets. You know that I want Vrabel, not coming. So you've got to move on from that. Now, the only way, let me take another step back. We all strongly surmise that it's a matter of time once the Patriots go through the charade and they do what they're doing now and, you know, get a few minority candidates in there, some others, and then they hire Mike Vrabel. I think that maybe the only way from a Jets perspective, you dissuade him from taking the Patriots job and incentivize him to be more open to the Jets job, who he's got no familiarity with, probably doesn't respect the franchise. He knows Kraft. He won championships there. He's in the Ring of Honor. I mean, everything shouts Mike Vrabel, Patriots. The way you lure him away from them is, I don't know, $3 or $4 million extra a year, an extra year or two in terms of length and more power. You bestow more organizational power in the contract with somebody like Mike Vrabel. Now, maybe Kraft is more amenable to with Vrabel than, say, somebody else, having Mike Vrabel give real input on the general manager. Hey, who do you think you could work with? Who do you want to work with? Who do you think, who can you align yourself with productively, not just from a coordinator perspective, but from your boss, who really, in the case of somebody like Mike Vrabel, who is established and has a different resume than somebody like Aaron Glenn, who can't make those demands, you know, rather than necessarily report conventionally to the general manager, maybe you work more in concert with them. So there's a lot at play here. There's really a lot of play. And I know that, like, and I'm stripping away the emotion of the fact that Aaron Glenn played for the Jets. Like, what does it really mean? Well, it means a little something, a little, because he bleeds green. He gets the franchise. And I think that matters to an extent. But I think what really is not off-putting, because I think Aaron is very enticing to almost every single Jet fan. For those Jet fans who don't want Rex, and I'd say that there's probably 30% of the loud vocal minority clamoring for Rex. Jeez, louder than Rex is clamoring for the job himself. He's been begging for it for months on the radio. They're not hiring Rex. There's no way that I would do it unless they whiff on everybody. And, you know, they're really left with very unappealing options. And maybe they, and I've said this before, but just to reiterate this, if you're new to the pod, and I've said this on the fan as well, like, if they feel, if Woody Johnson feels that he's got to throw the fan base a PR bone because they didn't get Vrabel and they didn't get Flores, who I also think Jet fans are intrigued by, and they don't get maybe like Brady as a young offensive mind, which is appealing, then I think maybe the play wouldn't be the right play, but it could be a playbook page. All right, let me give them Rex. The press conference will be off the charts. It'll be off the hook. It'll be wild. Jet fans will be pumped up. They'll get behind the season tickets. The energy's there. And then because there are components on defense, the defense will be good and they should be competitive, whatever. I just don't think Rex is the right choice. So when I look at the checklist of criteria, what I want, in order of priority, I want somebody who's done the job and who's done the job well. Not somebody like Matt Nagy, who's done the job not particularly well. Somebody like Vrabel, who's done the job well. But Vrabel's not coming. So Flores checks the box. But Flores is a very volatile personality. Now, I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick just has a beef with him. But if you saw the podcast within the last day or so, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a smart dude, and doesn't seem to have many enemies in the NFL. I think everybody loves Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he ran him over. He destroyed him. Does he have an axe to grind? I don't know why he would. I can't dismiss what he's, I'm not going to take it as Bible, as gospel, but I can't dismiss it. I can't just overtly dismiss it. So Flores, a little trepidation because of, you know, the friction with Tua, the way it ended with the Dolphins, the lawsuit, which bothers me less. He's already employed by the NFL, so if he could be an assistant, he could be a head coach if the Jets have the appetite for that, and I think that they do. So once I get past head coach criteria as the main checkpoint, now generally I do skew offense because I want the Jets to change. However, the reason why Aaron Glenn, who defies everything on my checklist, he's never been a head coach before, and he's got a defensive background, so that would be XX, you would think, but what I think could offset the fact that he's not an offensive coach is that he's part of a team that scores the hell out of the football. Now, he's not devising the plays on the offense, obviously. He's in charge of the defense. But he's part of an organization that scores points. It's not like they're winning 17 to 13, 14 to 10, like the Ravens back in the day, or even the Jets to an extent with Rex back in the day. He is part of a culture that gets the ball in the end zone. He's part of a mindset that looks to score 30, 40 points every week, and they generally do. The offense is terrific out there in Detroit. So that, I think that, not that it's just going to seep into the pores of his body by being in the building, but there's a philosophy that does permeate the building that I do think would have a positive slash profound impact on Aaron Glenn's understanding and ability to, well, number one, construct an offensive staff that is interesting. And the other thing too, you look at the players and look at the teams in the division, just in the division, that Aaron Glenn's trying to stop on a weekly basis. Now, I mean, the Sam Darnold story's been really interesting, and he's had a hell of a season, and he's going to get paid by somebody, maybe the Vikings. But even if you don't think that Sam Darnold's the real deal, and I stop short of thinking he's the real deal, he's good, but he's not much more than that. And Aaron Glenn actually played him like a fiddle last time out Sunday night. Think about trying to stop Justin Jefferson twice a year. That's not easy. Think about trying to stop Jordan Love twice a year out in Green Bay. That is not easy. So the Detroit Lions score a lot of points, and he's part of that. He's part of the team. He's part of the staff. And really, with the exception of the Bears, and at least they've got a young, electric, talented, athletic quarterback that presents a different set of circumstances in Caleb Williams, it's not like he's coming from, say, the AFC South, which ironically Vrabel was in, where, you know, the Titans don't score, and the Texans score a little bit, but the Jaguars are a very uneven team. The more I think about this, and the more I was actually listening on the way back from St. John's, I don't even know where the interview was from. I just did a search and I was driving, so I couldn't look. I couldn't type. I was just listening. And man, Aaron Glenn sounds the part too, which I don't want to get too wrapped up in sounding the part, because geez, if we're going to hire somebody by virtue of sounding the part, then Rex should have been hired 3 days ago. There's got to be more substance. And to me, Aaron Glenn drips substance. So Vrabel, again, forget about him. Unless you just overpay and extend and give him the power, which I don't think Woody will do. The hesitation with Flores is that he's a little erratic from a personality perspective, and that might only be amplified in New York with a dysfunctional franchise like the Jets, all right? Aaron Glenn, like, if you're not, take yourself out of the mindset of being a Jet fan and every year watching a popgun offense that's 15 years behind every offensive trend and a losing culture. Forget it, like, strip away your Jetness if you can, and just operate from the purview of this. If you have an opening for a team and you're really looking at Aaron Glenn, what would you get from Aaron Glenn? Well, number one, I think you get accountability. I know you get defense. I know you get class. I know you get no obvious setbacks. He's not a wild man like Flores has been, positioned to be. He's not a retread who, all right, he's done it before, but he hasn't really done a whole lot. Like, there's really nothing against him except what we are guarding against as Jet fans. He hasn't done it yet, and he's not an offensive guy. That should not preclude them, from hiring him, and I don't think it will. I think that they are dead serious on Aaron Glenn. I love the fact that he said to the Patriots, stick it. I'm not wasting my time. You're not hiring me. You got to check your little box, and you could check your box with somebody else. I'm not falling for it. So there's a lot at play here, but again, just as a, I guess as a brief summation here, I do like the broad scope of the search. It's a lot. It's a lot. But for the first time, really, in this century, I feel like it's as extensive and it's probing and it's all encompassing. Like it's a. I feel like the Jets actually have a clue this cycle. I do. Now the other thing too is that unlike when they hired Adam Gase and unlike when they hired Robert Saleh, this Jets job is a lot more appealing with or without Rodgers. Now, you can make the case that for some coaches, it's unappealing with Rodgers. I think some would want him. I think some would not. Me, I think I told you he can still play. He was eighth in passing yards. He was seventh in touchdowns. He didn't even play like Aaron Rodgers. He had one of the best quarterback seasons, one of the best seasons Jets quarterback has ever had outside of Vinny in 98, Fitzpatrick when I don't know how the heck he put the numbers up that he did, but he did with Marshall and Decker. You know, that's about it. You know, maybe 1 year from Pennington, but Pennington didn't throw a ton of touchdowns and Chad was good. I didn't see Namath, you know, I mean, Kenny O'Brien. I mean, that's it. That's it. So, I mean, that's not why you bring Rodgers back, but it does contextualize his season. I think it's grossly overstated and not overstated. I think it's just flat out wrong when people say Aaron Rodgers cannot play. Aaron Rodgers can still play. The problem is the Jets, what was around the Jets failed Aaron Rodgers more than Aaron Rodgers failed the Jets. Now, the other thing too, why I think the Jets are close, I'm not going to go nuts and say, you know, with one more lineman offensively, one more run stuffing lineman, and maybe a second or a third level defender, that they can be in the Super Bowl. I learned my lesson last year. But I'll tell you one thing. If you can eradicate the ridiculous amount of penalties, which, oh, yeah, by the way, a good disciplined coach will do immediately, you will turn the ball over less, you will force more turnovers, and you will absolutely cut the penalties in half just by having the right coach show up. Now, eventually, to become a Super Bowl champion, you've got to take a step beyond that. Like, you can't just be a good ball control, low penalized, disciplined team and expect to win 13 games every year. But you're going to be in every game. You'll probably win more tight games than not, like the Jets, who lost a ton of tight games. So I think it's a lot more appealing. Like, when Saleh came here, they were in ruins. When Gase came here, they were worse. So I do think it's appealing. I do like the way the Jets are attacking this. There's a lot of the names on the list that I dismiss immediately for reasons I've already said. But I do think at the end of the day, they are doing this to collect as much information on their players from guys who have been around the NFL, different systems, different franchises, different philosophies. I'm actually excited. I'm excited. Let me pull my guy Evan in here. I'm tripping over. I can't even say my P's. I'm so excited. I'm excited that this is, as of now, barring some unforeseen, catastrophic, you know, trap door that can always happen with our Jets. I am emboldened by what's going on with our Jets. How about you?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that, you know, those top three guys that you mentioned, and even like Joe Brady, the top four, I think if you get any of those, the fan base will be really, really fired up. And I think that's exactly what you need, because it's like the first thing you got to do is win the fan base back by getting a guy that they like, and then you can win him back when you start playing by actually playing well. But I definitely think bringing in a guy that other teams coveted really shows you, like, okay, we're doing something right here, and we're getting it going. Whereas if you bring in one of these guys that no other teams interview, and it's like, okay, that could be a problem, you know? So if you get one of those top guys, then the fan base is like, all right, we got the main guy we need at the top, and now we can move forward. So,
and the other thing too, not that this necessarily impacts who's going to take the job, but, you know, the Bills are obviously really good, and the Patriots have a young, interesting quarterback, and they've got money. They've got about $130 million in cap space, but the Patriots are not a good team. The Dolphins are going backwards. Tyreek Hill checked out of the game. He said he wanted to get dealt, then he said he didn't. McDaniel's losing control. You know, Tua, when he's healthy, he's good, but he can't stay. Like, the Dolphins aren't anything. The Jets just beat the Dolphins. Tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
So it's a division that is you can manipulate the division. I know you got to get past Buffalo. Josh Allen's not going anywhere. But there's a lot of things, for all the reasons I've stated, you share my enthusiasm, to think that the Jets are really this close with several men that can lead to very positive directions. It's not like one guy where every egg is in one basket, and if he, like Vrabel, and if he spurns them for the Pats, they've got no other options that are viable. There's a lot of good options. So they just got to – first they had to identify the options. Now you got to convince somebody to take the job. And somebody good is taking this job. So before we wrap it up, want to keep it short, sweet. Wanted to get this out there. I'm excited. You know, I, by the way, Spotify, Apple, download this. Get this to your Jet fans across the country, across the world. Make sure you catch me every Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 with me and Sal. Give me – I know you've given me your list of preference. Give me your list of – in terms of belief, like – who do you think is going to get the job, number one, number two, and then number three? Maybe separate from what you want, what you think is going to happen. Go ahead.
So I think number one, I honestly think Glenn would be the most like appealing candidate. I think the only team you're really going to be competing with, in my mind, for Glenn is the New Orleans Saints. They seem to be the only other team that might give you a little pause about Glenn. Second, I think would be Flores, because it's like Vrabel, I just obviously – you know, he's either going to go to the Patriots, mainly the Patriots, and then if they somehow get Johnson, he'll go probably like the Raiders or the Bears or something.
Or the Bears,
So I definitely think Flores would be second in line. And then, honestly, I think Rex might be third in line. Just because it's like after that top four, after that top four, including Brady, I think, honestly, when you look at some of these other names, it's like I actually might be able to talk myself into Rex over the likes of Arthur Smith, over the likes of maybe Steve Spagnuolo, over the likes of Matt
Nagy. Over Spags,
So it's like there's some other names, like the bottom tier guys, like a Brian Greasy, Vance Joseph. It's I could talk myself into Rex over those guys. But obviously, Aaron Glenn and Brian Flores, I think, would definitely be the most attainable guys toward the
top. It's funny. When we started the list, you know, when it first started, it was, and this was before Mayo was fired, it was, in terms of preference, it was Vrabel. I never got too deep onto the Gruden Express. Vrabel, Flores, and Glenn. Glenn's been on my list for a while.
Yep.
I have now flipped in terms of preference. I now have Glenn number one as well.
Yeah.
I have Flores number two. I don't have Rex three, though. I think you laid out in a compelling manner, like many of the names that you said, actually every name that you said, I'll take Rex, and I'm not even a Rex guy. I mean, I love him, but I don't want him, if you know what I mean. Let me give you two, and we'll wrap it up with this. If it came down to, let's say, Glenn goes to the Saints, the Jets are turned off by Flores, a little reticent to hire him for whatever reason. Let's say it's Rex, Brady, and Cliff Kingsbury. Those three, what would you do?
I think in that situation, I would have to go Brady. Brady, yeah. Because I'm not a Cliff guy. I'm not a Cliff guy at all. And then Rex, it's like, I feel like I could sell myself a little more on a guy who's obviously running a top offense. And he's also, he did it at LSU. Granted, he had a ton of talent, but it's like he's got some stuff where you're like, I know it's another first-time guy, and I know we haven't wanted that in the past. But at the same time, I could talk myself more into him than those two guys.
All right, man. Hey, listen, good stuff. I could feel that. You hear that? Hold on. Somebody's knocking. You know who that is? Come on in. It's Uncle Mo. Uncle Momentum. Uncle Momentum.
There you go.
Hey, Uncle Mo, come on in, Mo. Season's over. This is our Super Bowl. I'm pumped up. And it's not, here's the best part, because you know me, I'm not going to do this to you guys. This is not manufactured enthusiasm. Pardon me. This is pragmatic excitement, or this is excitement based on pragmatism. Like, I just feel good about where we are. So, I will catch you on The Fan tomorrow morning, every morning, 10 to 2, as I said. Apple, Spotify, get it out there. Hey, you got Jet fans in London. You got them in Ireland. Let them know about the pod. Get it out there. Download it. I appreciate you guys. I definitely appreciate the support. Apple, Spotify, and I'll catch you guys soon. Let's go, Jets.